Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
And you're very welcome back to Tip Today. Fran John Lee was very informative as usual. Excellent interview. It shows vaccines are working. Young people need vaccines after all. They are out and about, says Ger. Okay. Did Fran invite the Good News Senator Garrett for a comment on Leo and on the polling issue, says Kevin. No, we didn't. This morning we were talking about it, but we had a full show, so we didn't do that. But we will do so tomorrow, Kevin, just to keep you bright and cheery. Hi, Fran. Mary's telling the truth about the schools long ago. Class distinction was always there. Certainly was. It could still be there, I don't know, but it certainly was alive and well, I know, in Cashel through the 70s. The nuns were so cruel. At 5 years of age, my whole class were told that we were stupid and we'd never get anywhere. We'd end up in a convent washing and cleaning for the nuns. They were all the same. The ones that were not cruel knew what went on and did nothing about it. Another listener says, that doesn't surprise me, what was said to Mary, and everything she's saying is right. That's how the nuns were. The truth is, Fran, the three big parties misrepresented themselves, and I believe that's fraud, a con job, and they preach to us. Patrick on to say, Mary Gordon, a lady that never needed a leaving cert, and that's for sure, very, very bright, funny woman, and always very entertaining, and great to have her on at the radio. All right, then, it is time to talk all about farming, and I'm delighted to be joined by Katrina Morrissey of the Irish Farmers Journal. Good morning to you, Katrina.
Good morning, Fran.
Good to talk to you today. A rather full journal, of course, as usual this week. It's interesting that you have a bit of an exclusive on the results-based environment agri plot. What's the story there? Some extra farmers now set to receive the average payment, I think, Katrina.
Yeah, that's right. Good news following a request from the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue, to Europe. If you remember, we spoke about it before. There was a huge oversubscription to this new pilot programme. It's an environmental scheme, and it's in place there for 2 years until the next Common Agricultural Policy is in place. We had more than 10,000 farmers apply for 2,000 spaces, so 5-1. And the minister subsequently went to Brussels and said, look, you know, we've got this huge demand from farmers. Can we put more people into the scheme? Brussels gave the green light, and the result is that there will be 5,000 places, which is 2.5 times the original 2,000 places. And it means that there will be a lot more farmers getting an environmental payment for the action that they take over the next 2 years. A lot of those actually are along the western seaboard. So Galway, Mayo, Donegal, Roscommon, Clare, Kerry are some of the highest numbers. And the payment is in or around €4,000 for the 2 years.
Very interesting indeed. Now, you have a full interview, in fact, with Minister McConnell-Logue. What is he saying? For a cap, for instance, what is he saying there in terms of the front-loading of the payments, for example, Katrina?
Yeah, so this is the first time we've had the opportunity to sit down with the minister one-to-one since he came home from Brussels and the cap talks collapsed 2 weeks ago. There had been an expectation that the cap deal was going to be done under the Portuguese presidency. It all failed after, I think it was 4 days, three nights of talks. And this was the first, I suppose, opportunity for us to kind of grill the minister on where he sees talks going next month. One of the interesting things, I think probably one of the most interesting things for small farmers that came out of the interview in this week's paper, is that he didn't shut down the idea of front-loading payments for small farmers in Ireland. And this is something that is going on in the CAP negotiations. In the last CAP, there is a front-loading scheme, we're calling it, and if I can explain that, because not everybody will know what front-loading means. Yeah. The front-loading means it's a top-up to your entitlement payment, but it's based on only a certain number of hectares, and it's limited to that number of hectares. So let's say I've got a 10-hectare farm and you've got a 100-hectare farm, but the payment is made on 9 hectares, you and I will both get the same payment from this top-up. But obviously, it's of more benefit to me as the smaller farmer. So in the last CAP, this front-loaded scheme for small farmers was made optional for all countries. and Ireland chose not to take that up. And this time, the talk in Brussels is that they want to make it mandatory. And this is where the minister's official position is. He doesn't want it to be mandatory. He wants it to be an Irish decision. He didn't rule out that the front-loaded payment scheme would come in Ireland. He's just saying that, I suppose, that it needs to be talked about in Ireland at an Irish level, whether it's a good thing to do or not, and not be dictated from Brussels. So that would certainly be of interest to the smaller farmers, a top up on their payment. But there's loads in that interview, Fran. There's plenty of reading in that.
There certainly is. And you know, all the more interesting in light of the fact that tomorrow, right around the country, Katrina, the farmers are taking to the streets. Now, I was speaking to Imelda Walsh yesterday, and she was at pains to say, no, it's not a protest. It's more a rally, I suppose. And an information opportunity.
Yeah, that's right. And they're going to be in Care and Nina in County Tipperary, yes. And not that far away in Dungarvan as well, in Mitchelstown. The way I would describe it, I suppose, is the IFA saying, hey, you know, remember us, we're the people, we're the farmers who are putting food on your table. And there's a lot going on for farming at the minute between the Common Agricultural Policy and that overall trend in the farm to fork, you know, this drive for more organic, this drive for more environmental. And the farmers would argue very little regard for whether it's going to make or break the farmers involved.
Great divisions among farming. And what a shame that is, you know.
What a shame it is. And the problem, Fran, the central problem here is that it is, if one farmer is getting more money, it's because it's been taken off another farmer.
Of course.
It's robbing Peter to pay Paul. There's been a tiny, tiny increase in the budget overall, but it's moving money around. It's not creating any extra money for all this added environmental work. And that's what the IFA is out tomorrow. And they have 31 locations, I think, across the country. Some counties have much bigger areas. So, that, say, for example, there's 2 in Tipperary and 3 in Cork.
Even though somebody got on to me following my conversation with Imelda yesterday, Katrina, and said that, well, sure, what the hell are we going to do? We're cutting silage. We won't have time to bring tractors out onto the street.
Yeah, and look, that's that time of year. I suppose it is very busy, but it's meant to be, I suppose, it's not meant to be all farmers, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, it's representative. It is to catch people's attention, to let the shoppers in town go, oh, what's going on over there? And just draw their attention to it, because I suppose, you know, there's so much COVID talk at the minute and the reopening, which is fantastic for businesses. But the farmers just want to draw attention to what's happening to them and where they need their voice heard.
A huge issue that the farmers have, and I'm almost conscious of this when I'm talking to you, Katrina, is that people outside of farming find it very hard to get their head. I find it very hard to get my head around the complexity of what's happening with CAP, for example.
It's so complicated. Yeah. I mean, we're to the pin of our collar every week getting it explained in the Farmers Journal, and we have people dedicated to it. I suppose it does come back to that central thing of this CAP has moved completely away from subsidising cheap food, which was always what those subsidies from Brussels were for. They're now moving and saying, no, we're actually giving you that money for environmental goods.
Yes.
But they're not, there's no extra money.
No extra money. So it's just moving money around, essentially.
It's moving money around, but also expecting farmers to do some environmental actions which would actually cut the amount of food they can produce. So they're being expected to reduce their productivity in many cases. To get the same money.
It's like turkeys voting for Christmas in some ways, isn't it?
A little bit. And I suppose the thing is, farmers are not against the environment. It's just that they want the cost of that to be recognised. You know, we had this conversation before about, for example, you know, a farmer who doesn't cut his hedgerow for 3 years doesn't cost him anything, but he's not going to get any environmental payment for that. So there's some, you know, and the obvious thing of reducing stocking rates, say on a dairy farm, if you're expected to reduce stocking rates, that limits how much milk you can sell, which is directly linked to your income. So it's
interesting. Over the last few years, much talk about Brazilian beef. You have some interesting news on that in the journal this week as well.
Yeah, that's right. The Brazilian beef trade is on the up and up, and that is good news for Irish beef farmers because it means that Brazilian beef won't be travelling to Europe. It's gone from, let's say, June last year, it was around €2.27, the price of Brazilian beef, and now it's gone up to €3.32, which is a euro more. It makes it far less economical then to travel across the ocean into Europe, and demand in Europe for beef, we hope, with steaks and, you know, the barbecues and the reopening of all the restaurants, we hope there'll be really strong demand for beef. And if the Brazilian cheaper stuff isn't there, then hopefully it will be Irish beef farmers who will be getting the benefit of now, supplying that market.
Does that have anything to do with the Mercosur deal, for example, Katrina?
The Mercosur deal is, yeah, I mean, this has been a problem for Irish farmers because the Mercosur deal would increase the amount of Brazilian beef, the amount of South American beef coming in. It's not in place yet, but that is the huge threat, absolutely. That displacing, you know, allowing Brazilian and Argentinian beef to come in cheaper would absolutely undermine the European market, and we are one of the biggest suppliers of the European beef market.
Right. So if the cost of that is going up, it's good for the Irish farmer.
Yeah, because to a Brazilian farmer, if he can sell the Brazilian factories, if they can sell for a really good price at home, they're not going to, they don't need to incur the cost of exporting to Europe. You know, if demand is closer at home.
Interesting. Finally, can I ask you about that straw scheme payment as well to the farmer?
Yeah, so this is the straw incorporation measure. It's another one of those environmental schemes, and it was a very popular one. There's almost 2,000 farmers who applied for it. So again, just for layman's terms, this is instead of baling up the straw and selling it as bedding, what the farmers will do, they will chop the straw at harvest time and they'll plough it back into the ground. And that's good for carbon, it's good for the environment, and it's good for soil fertility. And they're getting a payment for that. As I say, almost 2,000 farmers have applied. And the average payment, based on the farmers saying, I want to plough in so many acres of straw, it'll be around €4,500. And it will have, I suppose, two effects. Number one, it's a floor in the market for straw prices because they know that they can get so much for their straw if it is chopped. It hasn't been hugely well received by the counties. In Tipperary, obviously, we have plenty of straw because we have plenty of tillage ground. But in the counties like Galway, Mayo, Sligo, where they import a lot of our straw, from the likes of Tipperary and Wexford and Cork, they're quite worried about what the cost of bedding will be because there would be... obviously the price of the bale as it's in the field in Tipperary and the haulage costs. So they're a little bit fearful of what it will do for the bedding costs. But for the tillage farmer, it's a really good scheme because they can, number one, help their own soil fertility, lock up some more carbon, and they can also get a floor. You know, they have a minimum price now for their bales of straw.
Very good. Katrina, it's always a pleasure. And of course, the Irish Farmers Journal is on your shelves right now. Thanks, Katrina. Thank you. Good morning to
you. Thanks,
how about you now? News editor there with the Irish Farmers Journal and, of course, Tipperary person, Katrina Morrissey, speaking to us now. Let me see what's coming into us. Fran, I love Mary. Does she have a Facebook or an Instagram page? She certainly has a Facebook page. If you look up Mary Gordon, and she always has some very interesting postings there, that's for sure. Fran, my license was up on the 7th of May. I rang about it. I was told I got another year's grace. And that's Mary Egan, who's in New Inn today. Me too, Mary. My license is up about now. And I went to check it. And yeah, I've got a year's grace where that is concerned as well. Well done to Darren on the great work. That's Darren, who's doing fantastic work in terms of looking after the scenic areas of Carrick and Shore where rubbish is concerned. And also there's a man called Kevin who goes down the river every day picking up rubbish in his boat. And that comes in from Jim. We'd love to talk to Kevin. If anybody can give us a number for Kevin, we'd love to chat to him about why he's doing that and the kind of work involved. Now, again, following Mary's conversation with me, Mary Gordon, lots in on that too. Fran, class distinction was always there. Mary is right. It's still going on, even in other parts of society. It's who you are and what you have with some people still. And that comes in from Joan, who's in Feather today. And another person agreeing and saying, if you look close enough, Fran, class distinction is still there. It's still there, but it's nowhere near as bad. It's nowhere near as bad. I really have to say that. Another listener saying, I love listening to Mary. I also spent time in Henrietta Street Hostel in Dublin. We spent our weekends sleeping behind the big poster of the cinema up the road as if we were, because if we were 5 minutes late going back to the hostel, we were locked out. And then our mothers thought we were safe with the nuns. It was the worst time of my life. That's another listener I'd love to chat to about that experience in Henrietta Street Hostel at some point or other as well. Anne was on to say, Fran, Mary is perfectly right. Let me see. If you were up to it, they would put you at the back of the... If you weren't up to it, they would put you at the back of the class, and the teacher had all his pets at the front. It's dreadful what was being done. And all the listeners saying, Fran, Mary is telling the truth about schools long ago. Class distinction was always there. 1800 938 007.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Subaru dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.